message on Yom Kippur. We'll have one tomorrow as well for our Yizkor, and then very brief comments for Ne'ilah, because we'll all be ready to break the fast by that point. So I know we're all going strong already. It's only been, 45 minutes? Everybody's good? Okay. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, also known as the holiest day of the year. It comes to us at the end of, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, the end of the days of awe, the high holy days is what we call Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and these 10 days really where we're examining our lives, where we're taking stock of our lives. This is a day where we get to meet with the holy God. You know, throughout history and throughout countries in the world and nations, they've had different gods of wood and stone and all of these things that they have prayed to and asked to send the rain, to stop the rain, to do all of these things. But we have the privilege to know the one true God who created the world and created each and every one of us. And this one true God is a holy God. And holy basically just means set apart. He is set apart from all the other little gods that have been made by man. And he is holy. He is kadosh. We talk about it. We sing about it. We chant about it. But God is a holy God. And the problem that we have, the problem that we find ourselves in, especially on Yom Kippur, is God is so holy and we are so not holy. In fact, we are anything but holy. And we take time during the service, which we just did, to list all the ways that we're not so holy and that we're not like God and that we don't measure up. So during this season, we give an extra effort to seeking God, to seeking his ways and seeking his holiness. Tonight, I want to talk about a way that we do that on Yom Kippur. And basically what we're talking about is what's commonly called in English afflicting ourselves, affliction, or afflicting ourselves on Yom Kippur. What does that mean physically? What does it mean for us spiritually? How we do it customarily, and how it really ties in to our flesh, you know, our versus the spirit, and really how afflicting ourselves and remembering to do that at this time of year is really our way to surrender ourselves to God, to surrender all of our things that come between us and God so that we can be with this holy God. So let's begin. I'm going to start with Leviticus chapter 23. Now, Leviticus chapter 23, of course, details all of the holidays in the cycle. It lists Shabbat, which is a holiday. We celebrate it every week. And then all of the annual holidays, including Yom Kippur. Leviticus 23, 26, and 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now in the 10th day of the 7th month, the month of Tishrei, is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation. You shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord." Now, when we read, "you shall afflict yourselves," the way that we do this within Judaism, the common customary way, is not to flog yourself, not to feel terrible all the time, you know, not to be ridden with guilt. The way that we remember to do this, the way that we go about doing this, is we fast. We refrain from eating. We refrain from drinking, no food and water, typically on Yom Kippur for 24, 25 hours or so. And the word afflict in the Hebrew is anah, and it means to be put down, to become low, to depress. And that's what we're doing. Nobody ever feels good when you fast. I don't know, maybe people that are crazy do that, but I don't ever feel good when I fast, because it's supposed to shock your system. If you ever read a book on fasting, you know, there's all these different fasts you can do. And really, it's a means of getting closer to God because you're removing the barriers. There's a barrier that we have just by the simple fact that we have to have, you know, three meals a day and maybe some snacks on the side. So we're constantly preparing food. We're constantly eating. We're constantly cleaning up. This takes a lot of our day. When you remove that, you're able to focus more on God, and you're able to really hone in on him rather than the things of this world. So when we afflict ourselves, we anav means we depress ourselves. We put ourselves down, so to speak. It's the same Hebrew word used in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, when it says that the Israelites were afflicted for 400 years in Egypt. It didn't feel good when they were in slavery. They were depressed. They were put down. It's the same Hebrew word used in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, when the suffering servant that's described in that chapter is afflicted, which we know to be the Mashiach. So this is a time when we fast as a way to, as what we do to afflict ourselves. But the question is, why? Why do we have to do it? Why can't we just, you know, beat our chest a couple of times and then go home? And if you're like me, turn on the TV and every commercial is a pizza commercial. I don't know why that is, but, you know, stay away from the TV maybe for the next 24 hours. But why do we do this? The central theme of the Bible is that man was created, man and woman were created to worship God, to have fellowship with him. And the key is that we were created with God as our creator, and we are the created. So there was this order to things. God was up here, and we were all down here. And that worked for who knows how long, until we didn't like being down here. We wanted to be up here with God. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically like it is. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were deceived to think that they could be elevated to be like God, to think that they could know good and evil like God did. Now, we do know good and evil, and it's a problem these days. It's a problem because we sin, and that sin came in. In essence, we wanted to be on a par with God, and this produced the fall and what's called sin, which is nothing more than separation from a holy God. And ever since then, mankind has had this internal battle between, on the one hand, acknowledging God is up here, and I think we all can do that, but on the other hand, wanting us to be up there and wanting us to be understanding it all, to know it all, to understand it all. You know, that can be the hardest thing, is this quest, you know, in this time of social media, in this time of 24 news cycles. It's like, what am I forgetting? You know, what am I not seeing? Oh, let me go back to the doom scrolling so I can catch more, because I don't want to miss anything, because I've got to know. And I'm not saying social media is bad, but it can become this idol in a way, to where we want to be like God. We want to know God, the things that God knows. We want to know everything all the time. The New Testament refers to this struggle as between the flesh and the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. The word for flesh in the Greek is sarx, and it's used frequently in the Brit Chadashah. But what exactly is the flesh referring to? It's not just our flesh, you know, our body, our skin, or whatever. It's really all of the ungodly thoughts, all the impulses, all the desires, all the things that we listed for the Al-Chet. That is what we're talking about by the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, many of you know that famous passage, the fruit of the Spirit. We love to quote that. I love to quote the fruit of the Spirit. I love to say, look, I just did that one. Goodness, patience. Yeah, I've got it all. Self-control most of the time. You know, I got this down. But also in Galatians chapter 5, there is the bad fruit. So there's good fruit and there's bad fruit described in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read you the bad fruit part. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh, interesting how that's characterized. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When Yeshua was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he instructs his disciples to stay awake. Remember that, when they kept falling asleep? He said, just stay awake. And he'd go and he'd pray for a little while and come back and they were falling asleep. And he uses this situation that they had physically to talk about the spiritual condition of the flesh. Matthew 26, 41. He says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we have a weak flesh. We remember that during Yom Kippur when we list all of the things where we have missed the mark with a holy God, where we have fallen short. Our flesh tries to keep us from following after God, and our minds keep us on ourselves and other things instead of on God. Another way to say all of this is we don't surrender to God. We don't put God first in our lives. We put ourselves or other things first. And during this time at Yom Kippur, we need to, as we afflict ourselves, we need to remember. We need to not forget that God is up here and we're down here. And we need to surrender our lives, even our knowledge of good and evil, to God. That's called faith. Faith is believing without seeing. When we wanted to know good and evil in the Garden of Eden, that required no faith. But God wants faith from us, just like Abraham had faith when he left Ur and he went to a land that God didn't show him. He walked in faith. And you and I need to let go of wanting to and trying to know everything and do everything and see everything and walk a life of faith. And it's about surrendering to God, trusting in his plan for our lives, putting his will and desires above our will and desires, and submitting to him. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So it takes some effort. It's not something that just automatically comes to us. We have to work at it. So on this Yom Kippur, when you and I are afflicting ourselves, when we're fasting, if you're able to fast, and you shouldn't fast if you have a medical condition, you have to take medicine, or, you know, if we usually encourage younger people to maybe ease into the fast up until you get to bar bat mitzvah age. But regardless, if you're doing what you can to afflict yourself, remember, it's not just a physical, it's a spiritual affliction. Listen to what Yeshua, our Messiah, says, Matthew 16:24. Then Yeshua told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And one more scripture, when John the Baptist was asked about Yeshua, what did he say? He didn't say, "Yes, I've got a great ministry. You know, he's kind of coming on my heels. He's saying all the same stuff I did. I said forgiveness. He said forgiveness." He didn't say any of that. What he said is, John chapter 3, verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This is what you and I need to be saying this coming year. He must increase, but we must decrease. Let's remember this on this Yom Kippur as we afflict ourselves. Let's let the Messiah Yeshua, let's let Hashem increase in our lives this year. Shalom.